Where's the biblical line between expressing disagreement, speaking truth, and acting in hatred? You cross the line where it's like, I'm going to turn my back on this person versus I'm turning my back on something sinful. I'm like against this individual who still bears the image of God.
Welcome to the Beyond the Message podcast, a podcast designed to dive deeper into Sunday sermons. Join us as we discuss and unpack yesterday's message and go beyond with additional insight into and application of God's Word.
Hey Veritas, this is Matthew, and today I am joined by Michael, and you're listening to Beyond the Message podcast. The one gaping missing piece here is the Sam Anderson. So
the Sam Anderson.
I heard this is being recorded, so we can't talk about him. So
we've talked about him before. No, that,
we could just carry on. All right. Anyways, Michael, thank you for bringing in the word yesterday. I appreciate your heart for Veritas Church and all of us. And man, that was a convicting message. I found myself deeply challenged by it. But the one first question that I feel like we do need to knock out of the way is just clarity for my northern ears on the name of Eliza's toy. What was that all about?
Yeah. So sometimes when I get really excited – okay, this is – I was about to say something. Sometimes when I get really excited, my southern accent comes out. And then somebody told me the other day, I was like, Michael, your southern accent comes out all the time.
It does. It does. We won't talk about the other things.
But. Yeah, that's fine. It won't be the first time.
Is it bonbon?
No.
Bonbon?
No. So,
or bun
okay,
bun?
Her toy is a bunny that she just calls bun bun. But I'm
like
sure if
a whole
I'm
lot
like,
of
oh, it's bonbon.
Yeah.
No. I lived in Louisiana for a while. You know, I'm from South Carolina, but lived in New Orleans. So you get some Cajun accent, maybe bonbon.
Cajun. I didn't think about the Cajun accent.
Yeah, but I don't have a Cajun. I don't. I would get thrown under the bus if I was around a bunch of Cajun people right now. Like, you do not. You don't even come close to a Cajun accent.
Soft.
I can't. I don't take that credit at all. I'm from South Carolina.
Yeah.
So anyway, bun. B-U-N-B-U-N.
Okay. Wow. That just brings – now your message makes sense to me. No. But that was a great illustration, though. I mean, let's even dive in there a little bit to that picture of loving Eliza enough to pursue her toy, literally stop your family, as you said there too. What were you illustrating there again?
Yeah, so the point was like, so she has this little stuffed bunny that she carries around everywhere now, and even though it looks awful, it stinks.
Like it smells awful.
It does. Like she was like snuggled up to me the other day with Bun Bun, right? And I was like, oh, this is gross. This smells so bad. But the illustration was, even though it smells bad, it looks worse than it did when we first got it, that we would never dream of just throwing Bun Bun away or turning our back on Bun Bun. Mm-hmm. And the reason we wouldn't do that is not because of Bun Bun, but because of Eliza. How much we love Eliza, and the two seem inseparable, right? Mm-hmm. And so why would we think of getting rid of something that she loves so much?
Yeah.
And the point is, like, there's an inseparable link between God and those born of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so why would we turn our backs on God's people if we really love God so much?
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. Yeah, hard-hitting text on love. I mean, we always start this podcast with, like, what did you want to share more about as you studied that?
Sure. So we've got several questions that came in. We've got questions that we've kind of created as well. And I think those are going to actually do probably – they're going to get to the heart of things that I wish I would have clarified better, things like that. Because I think I gave – there were some things I even said at the 8 o'clock service that I'm like, that probably wasn't the most helpful example.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we'll get to that in a second too. But I don't know that there's a bunch of extra things. There's two verses and it's pretty clear, like, don't hate your brothers, love your brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we're going to get to some of that stuff.
Okay. Should we dive into these questions?
Yeah, go for it.
How do we do this? Do we always read the names of who sent these?
Don't read the names.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Are there any distinctions or differences between hating someone or just having a relational preference? Say hypothetically, I prefer the Beyond the Message podcast with Michael when he's on rather than Jim Coates. I think it was Jim Coates. I mean, it was his first time last week. This is harsh. These guys must know each other.
Yeah, totally.
Totally.
Maybe know each other. Maybe work for each other. I don't know.
Maybe something like that. I feel like there's a little bit of rub there. But anyways, we'll try to get past that. Okay, but in no way do I turn away from Jim or the podcast when he appears on it. Can I hold a preference without sinning in my heart?
I never thought listener questions would come in to, between, like, maybe there's some love and hate issues yeah, going
will
on
we,
between a,
we
a,
need to draw
a,
the line.
A coworker or two coworkers. Yeah. So it is a good question. I love number one, I love our church. I love that we don't take ourselves too seriously.
Yeah.
Take God seriously, mm-hmm. but kind of hold the preference without sinning in my heart. And I'm, yes, like you can definitely hold preferences. Don't use your preferences as an excuse not to love, right? Mm. The way you treat somebody, it matters. So if you're preferring something over something else, don't treat the people that prefer the other thing differently, mm-hmm. right? And so I think that, like, I prefer golf, you prefer cycling. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to treat you differently because I have a different preference. So yes, you can absolutely have different preferences. Mm-hmm. Just how are you treating people, and how are you treating people in your heart mm-hmm. if they hold different preferences?
Mm-hmm. I think what's key when you think about, like, especially a brother holding a brother in respect, or even having you jive better with another person, is the reality of what God calls us to if they become our enemies. You know, love those who persecute you, outdo one another in showing honor. So when it comes to, like, preferential relationship or something like that, it's key to be careful, you know, with how you treat the other person, how you respect them as a different person with different gifts that, again, maybe you don't jive with as well. So,
but if you prefer me on the podcast over Jim, you're probably messed up, because we all prefer Jim over everything.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, he only had one shot, so I mean, we could test him a little bit more. But oh well. Anyways, hey, another listener question wrote in. I struggle with the clarification of what Scripture means when it talks about loving your brothers. Is this referring to fellow believers, or does it include non-believers as well? Let's answer that first part
for
of the question.
So the call of Scripture is to love everyone. Mm-hmm. Like, very clearly, we are to love everyone. They're image bearers of God. We love those that bear the image of God. Mm-hmm. And so that's this specific text, and 1 John seems to be dealing with brothers within the church. And so when we preach through books of the Bible, we want to be faithful to the text of Scripture. And so we want to be faithful to, okay, what is this specific text talking about? We're going to preach on this text. Now, we're going to preach in the context of all of Scripture. So that's mm-hmm. why yesterday I said, yes, love everyone, including your enemies. But we were diving more directly into loving the people of God yesterday mm-hmm. for that purpose.
Would you say, is it fair to say that love looks different for outside people in the world as opposed to people in the church?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Like the way you admonish, rebuke, like mm-hmm. There's the one another's of Scripture, right? Mm-hmm. Like the way you serve, everything's going to look differently. I'm not going to have the same expectations upon a lost person that I do someone who's claiming Christ, right?
Yeah.
And so how's a worldly person going to act? They're going to act worldly. Mm-hmm. And so how should when a believer starts acting worldly, mm-hmm. then we have to address those things lovingly. Like,
sure.
God disciplines those he loves, right? So, yeah.
That's good. All right, we'll carry on with this question. I understand that we are called to love everyone, but I struggle with how that applies to people who reject Christ, speak hatefully towards others, or openly oppose the gospel. How do we biblically love those individuals while remaining faithful to the truth? Kind of adding on to what we were just said.
Yeah, well, and I think that is like, how do we biblically love everyone, individuals, while remaining faithful to the truth? Like, I mean, Scripture would be clear, like, love your enemies, turn the other cheek, mm-hmm. pray for those who persecute you. You're blessed when others revile you, right? Mm-hmm. Because of your faith. And so, I mean, Luke 6, I mean, talks about, like, going the extra mile. Like, mm-hmm. there's a lot of clear ways in the Scripture. I would encourage people to read Luke 6, I think it's 27 through 36. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you're going to see a lot more, like, what hate looks like, what love looks like, mm-hmm. like doing good, not bad, blessing people, not cursing them. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of other Scriptures we could have gone to address what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But Luke 6, 20. Just look through Luke 6.
Yeah. Adding on the hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Mm-hmm. I'll do on another in showing honor is Romans 12. And I'll guess two of the verses, I think 9 through 23. So check out that as well. Just following along the same line there too. Question about like, what the Bible constitutes as hatred from a biblical perspective. Some of the examples given seemed to center around causing harm to somebody, which makes sense. However, another example used was posting something negative about a different political party and describing that as hatred.
Yeah. So that was a great, this is a great, this is a great question.
This is a great question.
And this is what I did at 8 o'clock that I didn't do at 9:30 and 11.
Okay.
Because I go, oh, that was that. Example.
Wait, you changed what you said between services?
That example was not clear and helpful to our church. So if you're at 8 o'clock, I'm sorry about that. This, what I was going for is saying like, oh, if we post, the example was if I repost something on social media, a Christian, a clip from our Beyond the Message podcast, right? But then the next day I spew hatred toward a political party, then that doesn't align. The call of this text is not toward big policies, laws. Like, this is about people. So if you were to say, I would hope this would be more clarifying. Okay, I repost something Christian one day. The next day, I'm like spewing hate toward a very specific individual. I hate this person. I don't like this person. Then, okay, you've crossed the line because you can absolutely disagree. You just mentioned it, Romans 12:9, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. There's evil in this world that we don't want to stand for. So if you post something saying about that abortion is wrong, like, yeah, it's wrong. It's sinful, shouldn't be the case. So can you make that post? Yes. And can you make that post after you just reposted a sermon clip? Could your life line up? Sure, it can line up that way. It's just when the line crosses over, like I'm attacking a person now. And there's some like bitterness. There's this hatred. It starts to turn malicious. Like, oh, now I want to harm somebody. That I think, I hope that would clarify what I was going after. You might can add to that too.
Yeah, I mean, I think teasing it out a little bit too to the snarkasm that's out there. That's my new word that I call it.
You've said that
this,
a lot.
This vicious, subtle, like, I think we have content that we can debate publicly.
Yes.
We don't need to be picking on politicians' faces or noses or, you know, people who are lost do lost people things.
Yes.
So their policies and worldview is completely different. So sometimes it seems like Christians are surprised by that, and we respond in anger and bitterness towards a different viewpoint. And rather than recognizing a different worldview, which is a foundation and that. So just, you know, really checking our hearts on that. The social media one's kind of – it's easy to pick on, but it's also really a concerning area of a lot of people's lives.
Yeah. But I think – is there the big question, where's the biblical line between expressing disagreement, speaking truth, and acting in hatred? I would say, first and foremost, look inwardly. Why are you doing this? Is this an expressing a trust in the Lord? Is this expressing a love for the Lord? Is it expressing a love for other people? So you can absolutely disagree with somebody. Yes. We are called to speak the truth, speak the truth in love. But when it start, you cross the line where it's like, well, I'm going to turn my back on this person now, versus I'm turning my back on a policy. I'm turning my back on something sinful. I'm like against this individual who still bears the image of God, even though they're making lost choices, terrible choices, those kind of things. So, yes, you can disagree with people. Please speak the truth in love, but check your heart first and then your heart toward that individual second.
I always think about in Thessalonians, it talks about like we don't grieve like we have no hope. And I wonder if we can't – I think we can stretch that definition. So we don't grieve like we have no hope. And that's regarding death because Christ has risen from the dead and he raises us together with him. But do we argue like we have no hope? like our argument will change eternity. Sure. Like, no, eternity's set. We hope in God. And so just, I always think about that sure. way too.
Yeah.
You mentioned the word disagreement, and the question goes on to another angle that addresses more with disagreement. This individual wonders, if I disagree with someone and make that disagreement known, or if I speak the truth of the gospel regarding beliefs, opinions, or religion that differ from Christianity, is that considered hatred? Where is the biblical line between expressing disagreement, speaking
truth,
and acting hatred? Yeah.
So, the line becomes when it moves from a thing, a policy, to a person.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that's where you're really getting into dangerous waters.
Do you think it is about the issue that might be debated, or it's more about the person that that's what we're doing. We're loving the person, trying mm-hmm. to show them the gospel of Jesus Christ in that too. So those are great questions.
Yeah.
Did I get them all? And,
well, there's some questions earlier. Talking about, I define hatred as deliberately turning away from somebody rather than simply active hostility. Can you expand on why that distinction is important and how subtle forms of avoidance or indifference can reveal issues in our heart? You know, the specific definition I think I gave was to turn away from somebody because you love something else more.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what happens is, like, hatred just reveals the spiral of our dark hearts, kind of a Romans 1 type thing, where this bitterness that started, like, I don't really like this, and now I'm getting annoyed with this person. Now I'm gossiping about this person, and I'm slandering about this person, and now I'm, like, maliciously wanting to hurt this person.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love us to, like, help people address the, like, bitterness before it ever gets past that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ephesians 4 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody came up to me after one of the service, like, I mean, clearly, like, the opposite of hate is love. Like, the hate is where there is no love, right? And so what are we trying to do? Like, we're trying to love people, forgive people, be at peace with people. But there are plenty of times that, oh, I love you, so I'm going to discipline you. I love you. I'm going to let you – I think of the father and the prodigal son. Like, oh, I love you. You want to live your life the way that you want to live it? Like, go for it. You realize how terrible this is going to end up being, right? And there's a lot of caveats in that, but I think maybe I answered that question.
Let's go there though, because by God's grace, it's not, you know, we're not heading into the holiday season, so we don't have to worry about those big family gatherings, but families are brutalized by bitterness and resentment and some of those really hard, difficult things, the various, an innumerable amount of circumstances. Is it in this love that God has for us, is it right to ever draw a line between in a relationship?
That's a great, hard question here, Matthew.
Oh, no, I just caught you off guard. I can ramble for a few minutes
if you
want to think about an answer.
The reason I struggle with it, because there's some days – taking a deep breath here before I don't want to go off on something. There's some days that I struggle with the idea of boundaries in on some regard.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, oh, when it's like, well, there was just a disagreement. I got it. This person is no longer safe for me because we disagreed on something. Like, oh, do we draw this hard line in that in the sand right there because we disagreed in the moment and disagreed a few times? Like, are we working hard to run to that person and love them? Like, because I'm like, man, I'm thankful that the Lord didn't just draw a line when I was sinful.
Hallelujah.
But he, like, proactively pursued me.
Yeah.
Now, as I say that, I know people's wheels are turning. Like, well, what about this situation? What about this situation? I'm not saying that boundaries are wrong. Mm. I'm not saying that limiting certain things are wrong. Can we just be slow to put up really firm, strong boundaries?
Mm-hmm.
there may be plenty of times when firm, strong boundaries are needed. Mm-hmm. But as the people of God, let's just be slow to get there.
Yeah, amen. I think what's important when it comes to drawing boundaries, just echoing and agreeing fully with what you say too, is there a pathway back to pure reconciliation?
Sure.
Because God doesn't share himself with people who don't, he hasn't saved.
Sure.
He does through common grace. The rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous, but he doesn't give himself in covenant to non-believers. But there is a way to God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And so what in your relationship with that person, yes, that person, what's the pathway back? Could they ever get back? Will they always be unsafe? Could God not work in their heart and life? Could God not change them? And what's the way path? And again, I know there's probably a million situations out there, but I think for the Christian who hopes in God, who with us it seems impossible, with God it is not impossible. Mm-hmm. When you get that call or they show up, maybe even to apologize or ask for your forgiveness, like is there a door open or will you shut them out?
So yeah, just I think of 2 Corinthians 5 so often, like we are his ambassadors, we are ministers of reconciliation, mm-hmm. because we've been given this message of reconciliation, mm-hmm. because that's what God's done for us. And I just like, I think if somebody's really struggling with the limits and the boundaries, starting with like, am I thinking like, speaking like, and acting like a minister of reconciliation right now? Just start in that place. Now, there could be a lot of answers to that, but think deeply, Lord, am I acting like a minister of reconciliation in this relationship?
Yeah. And I think if God calls us to such a style of relationship, I can't fathom that he would abandon us in our hurts and our anxieties toward that person. I can't imagine if we're trying to live him out to that person or have the door open that he would just abandon us to that too. Let's hope in God in that. Yeah. But that kind of ties in maybe with this third question here of like, how does this look like the gospel, right? How does the gospel understanding help us move toward a difficult relationship in the church when reconciliation feels costly or undeserved?
Sure. I think this goes all the way back to Genesis. Like we were in this incredible, Adam and Eve, in this incredible relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Sin comes in. What's one of the consequences or the major consequences? There's enmity between God and man now. Yeah. Like, so there is strife. There's a need to be reconciled.
Yeah.
And if enmity was like a consequence of the cross or of the curse, then reconciliation is a consequence of the cross, mm-hmm. right? And so it's like, well, our whole lives are going to feel like strife and war, and because that's the part of the curse.
Mm-hmm.
But the beauty of the gospel is like, oh, we get to be reconciled back to God, mm-hmm. not because of us, but because of what Jesus has done. Mm-hmm. So as people who have experienced reconciliation back to God because of the righteousness of Christ, mm-hmm. how could we not like try to be reconciled to our brother mm-hmm. and sister? And like we are covered with the righteousness of Christ
Amen.
By grace alone, like through his mercy, through his love. So if we're going to love our brothers and sisters well, like let us start with grace mm-hmm. and love and mercy and mm-hmm. forgiveness, seeking reconciliation. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's because we're not doing it to earn mm-hmm. our favor before God. We're not doing it to earn the other person's favor.
Well, and right? I love you went over to Titus. We have so much in common with our brothers and sisters. We have all failed. Yes. We have all fallen short. Like, we have a lot we can talk about mm-hmm. Apart from our differences that I'm trying to go over here to Titus. I'm in the wrong place.
I got you.
Yeah, Titus 3. Go ahead.
Yeah, Titus 3:3-7 says, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various mm-hmm. passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others mm-hmm. and hating one another." So like this literally is who we were,
yeah.
all of us.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Mm-hmm. Like, we get all this restoration and renewal. We get to become heirs, mm-hmm. reconciled back to God, mm-hmm. all because of what he richly did to us. And so I think for if you're struggling with loving somebody that's a believer, like just think of how richly God poured out his grace and mercy on you. Mm-hmm. And then say, God, am I richly doing this to my brother and sister?
That's good. That's good. Well, your main point yesterday was authenticate your love for God by loving God's people, which kind of ties a bow on so beautifully on what we have been talking about, that sure. picture of the gospel lived out through us, through God's people.
You know, okay, I just thought of this example with authenticate. It might have been good if I would have shared this in a sermon, but like—
That's why we have the Beyond the Message
podcast. How annoyed do we get with two-factor authentication on our phones and computers? Like, I just want to put in a password. I just want to go to this thing. Like, but then it's like, oh, now I got to authenticate it here, and then I got to authenticate it here. But like, isn't that like the relationships in the church? Like, don't you know that I love you, God? Well, here's another one. Now here's another one. Like, you bringing that person back into my life again? I got to do another password. I'm like, what? That was. Why didn't I think of this yesterday?
This is so convicting because now every time I sign into our horrendous system here at the church,
it's not just our system here at church; it's everywhere, right?
Exactly.
And so, like, just God saying, "Hey, you want to prove your love for me? Prove it by loving the church."
That's good. That's good, folks. I think we need to pray that way as a church. Be a church that loves like that, a Veritas church. So, yeah. Well, Michael, anything to add?
No, I think we've covered a lot.
We've covered a lot. All right. Thank you all for joining us again. Join us again next week for Beyond the Message podcast, where we will dive into what is said. We appreciate you guys.